Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven whereby men and women might be saved but that name of Jesus. And at that name of Jesus, there's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Lord, we're going to say your name now and say it later. And so we thank you for who you are and what you mean to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'd like to welcome all the families, but I wanted to pay special note to my son-in-law, my daughter, and my two grandkids who are here from Japan. And Danny, welcome. Raise your hand so they can see you. And I think Carla and the two children are in the cry room. This week, a two-month-old baby, Swirl, changed. And the baby was unaware. Were over 2,000 friends and neighbors and hundreds of law enforcement officers assembled in the new Venture Christian Fellowship Church in Oceanside to pay respects to the baby's dad. The dad was 25-year-old Oceanside Police Officer Dan Bassant. You may have heard of the incident, where his life was taken tragically in a senseless slaughter as he was coming to back up the writing of a ticket. During that particular time, my wife and I were on our way to the base exchange at Camp Pendleton. And college and Vandegrift is hardly ever tied up with traffic, but this particular night, as we were going in that direction, traffic was backed up, so we decided to turn around, not knowing that really at that same time that we were there in the area, the incident happened. And I told my wife as we turned around and went in another direction, I have never seen so many police squad cars heading in an area so fast, and I knew something unusual had happened. And of course, you know the report. The police officer was picked off by a 17-year-old who was just playing sniper. I can't understand that. You may, one of these days, you might help me to understand. I can't understand it. I'm just absolutely blown away by something like that. And, you know, in fact, it caused me to think, I wonder if Dan's parents, you know, he always wanted to be a police officer. I wonder if they knew that their son would end up sacrificing his life on the streets of Oceanside in such a senseless way. I wonder if they would have discouraged him from going into that profession. It almost seems as if you're a baby in the crib one moment, and the next, you're on a cross. Well, this is the season of the year where we've talked about a baby born in a stable, in a place of wood and straw surrounded by sheep and cattle and donkey. The baby Jesus, who started his life with few of the advantages of the rich and privileged. Little did his parents know the journey that he was about to live. A journey filled with jealousy and hatred and misunderstanding and lies against him. That's how Jesus began his life, just like we all do in a crib. The same, he was born just like James Brown, whose life was ended this week or so, and just like President Gerald Ford. The journey of life is fascinating. You never know where it's going to take you. James Brown grew up in Georgia. He started picking cotton and was a shoeshine boy. and later tried to be a boxer. And I was reading about him. They said that he was dismissed from school because he was so raggedy. His clothes were so ragged. Now, I've never heard of that, so I would have loved to have seen what that looks like. That you have to dismiss somebody from school because their clothes are so ragged. That's James Brown. And who would ever think that he would end up being, as to call him, the hardest working man in show business. And then there's President Ford, equally as interesting life. His name, which I found, was Leslie Lynch King Jr. I didn't know that till I read. And even though I pastored in Omaha, I didn't remember that he was from Omaha, Nebraska. Could have been because his mother moved she divorced and then moved to Grand Rapids and married Gerald R. Ford. And he took her son and changed his name to his name, Gerald R. Ford Jr. I mean, that says volumes about his stepfather. I'm sure he didn't know that he was writing his name in history, that his son would be President of the United States. Interesting journey for President Ford. I found out that he played football for the University of Michigan, but he was a bench warmer for a couple of years. But he finally got in, and when he did have an opportunity to play, he was voted the most valuable player, played center. And he was so good, in fact, that he had contracts by the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. But he decided to go into law rather than play professional football. He was the only person ever elected to vice president and president without being elected by the vote of the people. Never know where your journey will end, how it's going to go. I would have you turn and look at another journey, if you would, and this is in Luke, the second chapter. That was so well read by Levi. Weren't you blessed by his reading of the scripture? Luke, the second chapter, in verses 25 through 35. Mary is about to get a glimpse into the life of her son. And I'm sure that she could not have imagined the final outcome of her son. It seemed like just a short time, and now we see the baby that was in the crib, now all grown up, hanging on a cross. And so the title of the message is From the Crib to the Cross. We see the story. Simeon, a devout man, had been in the temple many times, had seen many children, many families come through, but this particular time, Mary and Joseph comes through the temple with Jesus. And when he sees Jesus, the child, guess what he says? I can die now. It's all right. I have seen my salvation. He waited all his life to see that, and God let him see that. And he says, okay, I can go now. I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen the Messiah. I've seen the Anointed One. Now I'm ready to go. And then he said something. He prophesied about that boy. He said, this particular child is going to be a light to the Gentiles and a glory to thy people Israel. In other words, this particular child is going to be someone special for all people. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? Jesus is for everyone. All people. When his parents heard that, the Bible doesn't say, but I just can't help but believe that when he said these good things about their son, their chest went out just a little further. What parent wouldn't, if you say something good, prophesy something good about your children? But then the prophecy changes. He says something else I'd like to spend a moment on. Talks about Mary, that your son is going to set for a rise and a fall of many in Israel. and a sword. And in the Greek, that word for sword, there's a small sword and there's a big sword. This one is the big sword. A big sword is going to pierce your heart. Regarding your son's life. You see, Jesus' life journey will have some people's lives changed because of him, and some will be divided because of him. Mary, your son's going to have a rough life. How hard it must have been for Mary to hear that. You know, I don't know, but I believe if it would have been me and I would have heard that, I would have done everything humanly possible to make sure that that didn't come true. How about you? If you heard that your child was going to have a rough life, I'd put him in the best schools. I'd make sure that he's at Sabbath school every week because he needs values. I'm going to make sure everything good that can happen happens. Because I don't want that to happen. I'm sure Mary felt that way. That's the way every parent feels about their children. If you knew your life would end up on a cross, would you continue down that road? The life of Jesus took a path from the crib of straw and wood to a cross of wood. But he journeyed down that path anyway. We know that Christ, as he grew, found out his mission and his role. And you know that he was the stone that the builders rejected in Matthew 21 and verse 42. All of us who call ourselves Christians know that Jesus asked us to deny ourselves and take up a cross. All of us who are Christians recognize that the cross comes before the crown. But why are we willing to follow such a path? Why do Christians take the road less traveled? Why do Christians take the road that's not paved with all the world's glory? Why do we take the road that is less glamorous, or the road that's less popular? Why do we as Christians take that road anyway? Another question. Why do people journey down a road that might lead to sacrifice and death? Those who may not even have a faith. Now, we know as Christians, we know the road and the path that we take. But why do people who may not even have a faith devote their lives to something that might cause sacrifice and even death? And they are noble roads. People in public safety. Firemen. Police officers. People who take care. People who take care to make sure that all is right. Why do they do that? Do you know that they jeopardize their lives when they do this? How about our men and women who serve in our armed forces? Who literally put their lives on the line every single day. We might have a country that's safe and free. What about our caregivers? Both the medical and in the medical field, doctors and nurses and those that work in hospitals and give of their time and effort. Some of them who are supposed to care for health work themselves into bad health trying to help us. Why do people do that? Why do they go down that path? How about social workers? Those in the social areas, caregivers, who dedicate themselves to helping people, making sure that their lives are better? What about our teachers and all the money they make? Why would they want to take your kids, 40 of them maybe, all day long, all lifelong? Why do they want to do that? Those who serve the needs of children, child care, those who devote themselves to making sure that children grow up right and have the things that they need, caregivers for children. How about those who take care of animals? I'm always amazed at those who have that capacity to spend their lives taking care, some might call them dumb animals, but to them, it's a ministry of love. And they work themselves to death for that, sacrifice themselves for that. And those who care for our environment, those who care that we have clean water and clean air and all the other things that have to do with making our lives better. I don't know about you, but I'd like to commend these people for their caring. Amen? Many of these people may or may not have a faith, but they're willing to do that. If that be the case, then you're going to have to help me here, because this I don't get. Why would people be willing to sacrifice their lives for nothing? Those who would take a life to get somebody's PlayStation. Would you help me? Take a life so that they could be the first to have an Xbox 360. Would you help me understand that? People who jeopardize their life and sacrifice their life for nothing. People who get up every day and say, I'm going to take something from you, Michael. Why would a person do that? Nothing. Why would a person jeopardize spending the rest of their lives in jail for stupid stuff? Help me to understand that. Why is that? Another question. This is the question sermon today. If you knew that something was bad for your health, would you drink or smoke it, even though you knew it was bad? Don't answer that. Why are people willing to take those chances? There's a lot of people in the world that do that. Would you establish an unhealthy relationship when everybody, all your friends and family, know that he or she is no good? Would you go into it anyway, knowing it was bad for you? Unhealthy relationship? Don't answer that. A lot of people do that all over the world. Well, Pastor, why this sermon? I wasn't expecting this sermon for the last Sabbath, 2006. Well, we love Bethlehem, and I do too. But you need to know that the way from Bethlehem leads to Golgotha. See, when you really take Bethlehem, you're taking Golgotha. You're taking on a cross. You would turn to Luke 23 and verse 26. I want to show you something. I almost hate to turn there because you're so familiar with it. But I know it's important because it's in all the synoptic gospels. It's in three of the four gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke. And so I know it's important. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 26. And I'm going to read while you're turning in. Now, as they led him away, talking about Jesus, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon the Cyrenian, who was coming from the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. What a passage. What a passage. They grabbed him, put this cross on his shoulders, that he might bear it after Jesus. The book Desire of Ages, excellent commentary on this incident. Jesus had been weak. He was staggering. He couldn't carry the cross any longer. The people were taunting him. The cross was heavy. He fell to the ground. He would get up and he would fall again. And they looked around to find somebody who would carry that cross. And they looked at the Jews, and the Jews, they're not going to carry it, because if they carried it, they would be defiled and they could not keep the Passover. They were not going to help carry the cross. Looked at the crowd. The crowd was taunting him. There was no one in the crowd that was willing to carry the cross. They were making fun of Jesus. They were saying, make way for the King of the Jews, making fun of Jesus. They weren't going to carry the cross, because no regular individual would stoop low enough to carry somebody else's cross. But here comes a stranger. All right? He was coming from the country into the city, and he sees a crowd. He meets the crowd. He hears the taunts, he hears the jeers, and he's not sure what's going on, but he hears them making fun of Jesus. Desire of Ages says that he stopped in astonishment at the scene and expressed his compassion. I don't know what he said, but they certainly got it, and they took him and put the cross on him. He carried that cross. You know why I believe that's in there? Because every one of us have to carry a cross. If you're a Christian, you will carry a cross. I know that's not a good way to end 2006, talking about carrying a cross. But sometimes as the year goes on in your journey, some people get so discouraged carrying their cross, they're ready to leave the church. That shows me you don't know anything about what it is you're into. Carry the cross, he did. Listen to what Desire of Ages says about him. Bearing the cross became a blessing to Simon. It led him to take upon himself the cross of Christ from choice and ever cheerfully stand beneath its burden. You hear that? Cheerfully take the cross. I know all of you know that Saddam Hussein was executed last night. But he posted his final message on the internet some time ago. I'd like to read it to you. He says, I'm giving my life for the country as a part of the struggle against the U.S. Here I offer my soul to God as a sacrifice. And if he wants, he will send it to heaven with the martyrs. Well, I won't comment on that, but I will ask you. Would you die for Christianity? Would you die for your faith? Someone came to me after I preached this in the first service, and I posed this question as the final question. Person came up to me and said, when you said that, I was not sure how to answer that. But you know what this person said? And it was really the answer. She said, yes, I would, because I don't know what life would be like for me if I didn't have him. That's kind of how I feel. What would life be like without Jesus? I'd like to ask you, why wouldn't you die for your faith? If a person would fight over an Xbox 360 and lose their life, you wouldn't die for your faith? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. You were willing to die for us, and we didn't deserve it. Lord, we can never repay you for that gift. We know that the study of the great sacrifice on the cross, we'll be studying it throughout the ages and still see new glimpses of your love and grace for us. We thank you, Lord, for your great sacrifice. And as we continue on our journey, we pray that you would give us staying power, that we would stick with you all through 2007. Because who else can we give our life to but you? We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.